This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What a big oil market change might mean for your drive. From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Obama administration is moving to loosen a 40-year-old ban on oil exports. Journal reporter Lynn Cook wrote the story. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
So there are a lot of issues we can look at here, but since many people listen to us while they drive and reflexively look to their fuel gauge anytime an oil story comes up, let's start with the potential impact on gas prices. This is just a small opening of the ban, but if it expands, how much of an impact could this have on gas prices?
Quantify exactly how much there would be, because you're right, this is just the beginning. The door has opened, but everybody hasn't rushed through it yet. And really, even among energy analysts, they're divided about whether this would hurt or help Americans' gasoline costs. Dan Yergin, who's a prominent energy analyst, came out with a report about a week ago saying exporting oil would actually lower prices at the pump, and then immediately a lot of people shot back and said that's a really oversimplified view. The higher the price of oil fetches in the global market, the higher global gasoline prices will go, and Americans will be subjected to that.
Okay, so we'll see how that turns out. Let's wind it back just a little bit, because this ban dates back to the oil embargo in the 70s. Why would America lift it now?
Well, energy companies are really trying to hammer away and chip away at this ban because they're producing more and more oil here. You know, we've drilled and fracked a lot of wells in the last 5 or 6 years, and there's this tidal wave of new crude that's hitting the market. And there's so much of it, all our refineries are having trouble taking it all and running it. And so you've got these companies that are pumping oil out saying, we want to sell to foreign buyers or at least be exposed to a global market so we can get a higher price for our oil. And that's what started them down this path of asking for oil exports.
Okay, Lynn Cook with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you, if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. We're going to take an in-depth look now at the tech industry and its diversity problem. Today, Google kicks off its big developer conference, and you can find out everything you need to know about tech and diversity if you just look at the bathrooms at conferences like this. Long lines in front of the men's room and often no wait for the women's bathroom. And the industry isn't just male-dominated, it's white male-dominated. Kate Davidson reports on what Google's trying to do to change that.
Google committed $50 million to a project called Made with Code, meant to inspire young girls. Education is crucial, says Elena Percival, who heads the group Women Who Code, but she says tech culture also contributes to the problem.
They'll say, oh, we need a great iOS guy.
Not a great iOS person.
Little things like that that happen over and over again, that if you complained about any one of them, you would sound crazy.
Lisa Cook is an economist at Michigan State University. She says in science and engineering, people tend to recruit from the schools and labs they experienced. But those social networks might leave out places like historically black colleges and universities.
While HBCUs are responsible for a declining number of bachelor's degrees, they're responsible for an increasing number of STEM graduates.
She says those are the places that recruiters who want to increase diversity should target. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
More now on this topic and a place that's doing startups differently, a bit off the map from the traditional tech addresses in San Francisco and throughout Silicon Valley. Sam Harnett reports on the unique tech scene just across the bay in Oakland.
Keisha Richardson has developed this app. It's called Clean Me, and it helps people manage home cleaning services. In a lot of ways, Richardson is a typical tech entrepreneur.
I actually love to build things. Even since I was a small kid, I would, you know, the little Lego blocks.
But in a lot of ways, she doesn't fit the profile. She's a woman, she's African-American, and her startup is in Oakland.
Yeah, this is where it's at. When you have artists and creatives and engineers all clustering into one area, magic happens.
Richardson says she came to Oakland because it feels like Brooklyn. It's close to the big city, cheaper, and has a different vibe.
Well, Oakland is the next cool place.
Mitchell Kapoor founded a venture capital fund in Oakland. Part of its mission is to support minority and female entrepreneurs. He thinks Oakland could be a big hub for that diversity.
It has a certain gritty and resilient character that I think are going to be positive influences on the tech community that is formed here.
The tech industry is being criticized for its lack of diversity. Google just released data showing that about 91% of its employees are either Asian or white, and 70% are men. Google is working to improve their image in Oakland. It's donated $500,000 to a charity that teaches tech and business skills to low-income youth. But not everyone is impressed.
It's tokenism. It's marketing. It's public relations.
Ola Simmons is the chief executive officer of Youth Uprising, a community center in Oakland. She says what the city really needs is serious investments in schools and social services. Unemployment hovers around 20% in her neighborhood. And the school next door still doesn't have reliable high-speed internet.
The truth is, if you don't invest, then over the long haul, what you do is you transfer ownership of your city to a group of people who are new.
And new people are pouring into Oakland. The last census shows there are now more white residents than black, for the first time since the 1970s. In Oakland, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And finally, Michael Jackson died 5 years ago today, but his music, still huge, bringing in an estimated $700 million since his passing. We explain how in an extended interview on Marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.